Welcome to Hot Off the Wire, a daily podcast that looks at the top news, business, sports, and entertainment stories as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor at the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now the latest headlines.
AP News. Good morning, I'm Ed Donahue. Three hospitals say Israeli strikes killed at least 58 Palestinians across the Gaza Strip overnight into today. The AP's Charles Della Desma has the story.
The overnight strikes hit multiple homes in the middle of the night, killing men, women, and children as they slept. Hours later, the Israeli military restored a blockade on northern Gaza, including Gaza City, that it had maintained for most of the war. It warned residents against using the main highway to enter or leave the north and said only passage to the south would be allowed on the coastal road. Hundreds of thousands of Palestinians have been returning to what remains of their homes in the north after a ceasefire took hold in January. Israel then resumed heavy strikes across Gaza on Tuesday, shattering the truce that had facilitated the release of more than two dozen hostages. I'm Charles Delatesma.
President Trump threatened Yemen's Houthi rebels that they'll be completely annihilated as American airstrikes pounded locations under their control while further pressing the group's main benefactor, Iran. President Trump is expected to sign an executive order calling for the shutdown of the Department of Education. Sarah Newman was laid off at the department.
There's always room for improvement, but I don't think that's what this is about. if it were about that, we wouldn't be destroying the system and then seeing where the dust settles. You know, you would be working, I think, hand in hand with the bureaucrats to figure out where, you know, there is room for improvement.
President Trump has called the Education Department wasteful and polluted by liberal ideology. Dismantling it would need an act of Congress. Aaron Grunches, an Arizona man who kidnapped and murdered his girlfriend's ex-husband, was executed by lethal injection, the second of four prisoners scheduled to be put to death this week in the U.S. North Carolina lawmakers agreed to spend $524 million on needs from Hurricane Helene's historic flooding 6 months ago. This is AP News.
If your job at a healthcare facility includes disinfecting against viruses, you know prevention is the best medicine. And maintaining healthy spaces starts with a healthy cleaning routine. Grainger's world-class supply chain helps ensure you have the quality products you need when you need them. From disinfectants and cleaning supplies to personal protective equipment, so you can help deliver a clean bill of health. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
There are new chances to win a Latin Grammy.
This year's 26th edition of the Latin Grammys will inaugurate the addition of new categories, including Best Music for Visual Media. Creators who are of Ibero-American descent or feature Latin rhythms have a shot at walking away with this award during November's ceremony in Miami. Projects can range from original music in movies and TV shows to video games and other forms of visual media. A Best Roots Song category will also go to songwriters with unpublished work that honors the cultures and traditions of the Hispanic American community in various languages. I'm Marcela Sanchez.
For the eighth year in a row, Finland has been named the happiest country in the world, according to the World Happiness Report 2025. The Wellberg Research Center at the University of Oxford says Denmark, Iceland, and Sweden followed Finland on the list. The U.S. dropped to its lowest ever position, 24, on the happiness list. I'm Ed Donahue, AP News.
President Trump is expected to sign an executive order calling for the shutdown of the Department of Education. Trump's derided the agency as wasteful and polluted by liberal ideology. But dismantling it will not likely be easy, as reflected in this exchange between Senator Bill Cassidy and Education Secretary Linda McMahon during her confirmation hearing.
Do you agree that since the department was created by Congress, it would need an act of Congress to actually close the Department of Education?
And certainly President Trump understands that we'll be working with Congress. We'd like to do this right.
Still, the administration has already cut the agency's workforce in half, and McMahon laid out this vision in that hearing.
To return education to the states, I believe, as he does, that the best education is closest to the child.
Ben Thomas, Washington.
Some Venezuelan migrants have been erased from the immigration agency's online tracker. Margaret Cargioli with the Immigrant Defenders Law Center said her client, a Venezuelan migrant detained in San Diego since 2024, had been transported to El Salvador with hundreds of others. Her client, who was part of the LGBTQ plus community, had feared for his safety in Venezuela and applied for asylum in the U.S. He was scheduled for a hearing on March 13th and didn't show up.
It was around Friday evening where all of a sudden there was no information as to the whereabouts of our client.
She believes there may have been due process violations.
With regard to him having been transferred away from counsel to Texas and then to El Salvador, based on just mere allegations of tattoos.
The center said there was an upcoming hearing scheduled, but didn't give information on a date. I'm Marcela Sanchez.
In an effort to limit fraudulent claims, the Social Security Administration is tightening identity-proofing measures. Beginning March 31st, people will no longer be able to verify their identity to the Social Security Administration over the phone, and those who cannot properly verify their identity over the agency's My Social Security Online service will be required to visit an agency field office in person. Retiree advocates warn that the change will negatively impact older Americans and those who do not live near a field office or have limited internet access. The plan also comes as the agency plans to shutter dozens of Social Security offices throughout the country and has already laid out plans to lay off thousands of workers. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
An email obtained by the Associated Press says Trump administration political appointee Peter Morocco will now serve as the State Department's head of foreign assistance. Morocco was serving as deputy head of the U.S. Agency for International Development, overseeing, along with DOGE, the gutting of more than 80% of USAID contracts and shifting the remaining programs under the State Department. Morocco sent the email to State Department staff on Tuesday, the same day of federal judge in Maryland indefinitely blocked DOGE from making further cuts to USAID, saying Elon Musk and DOGE appear to have no constitutional authority for their efforts to help the Trump administration shut down state and USAID foreign assistance funding, fire staffers, and end humanitarian and development contracts. Donna Warder, Washington.
The U.S. and Vietnam, once enemies but now strategic partners, have been cooperating on efforts to remediate legacy dangers of the Vietnam War. Outside a former American airbase, work to clean up tons of soil contaminated with the deadly defoliant Agent Orange suddenly stopped last month when funding for the project was frozen. Funding resumed, and the State Department says USAID has three active contracts for remediation at the base, but there are no USAID employees left to administer the project.
It's very important for Vietnam to have the support from the U.S. to solve all the war legacy issues.
Nguyen Cac Gion is a political analyst. He says the abrupt approach is raising questions in Hanoi about Vietnam's relationship with the U.S.
It is first a sign of goodwill for the U.S. To build trust with Vietnam.
The chair of the Association for Victims of Agent Orange in Da Nang says the U.S. government and Agent Orange manufacturers have a responsibility to the victims. Cuts to U.S. foreign assistance have also halted efforts to clear unexploded munitions. I'm Jennifer King.
A Pentagon webpage describing baseball legend Jackie Robinson's military service was missing this morning. That comes after thousands of pages honoring military contributions by women and minority groups were taken down in a bid to delete material promoting diversity, equity, and inclusion. Internet Archive says Robinson's page described his Army service during World War II, including an anecdote about being court-martialed after refusing to move to the back of an Army bus in 1944.
Thank you very much, Mr. Rickey. I'm certainly delighted with my contract.
That was 3 years before Robinson broke baseball's color barrier. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
A Columbia University student activist in government custody because of his participation in pro-Palestinian demonstrations has the right to challenge his detention. However, the judge says Mahmoud Khalil's case should be heard in federal court in New Jersey, not New York or Louisiana, where he's being held. The judge says that's because ICE took Khalil to New Jersey after his arrest in New York, and that's where his lawyers filed paperwork. Meanwhile, in his first public statement, the green card holder says in a letter from jail, his detention is indicative of anti-Palestinian racism under both Trump and Biden administrations and calls his targeting part of a larger effort to repress Palestinians.
Daily
Walker, New York.
The White House says it has halted roughly $175 million in federal funding to the University of Pennsylvania because of a transgender athlete's participation in its swimming program. Penn has been facing an investigation by the Education Department focusing on its swimming program, but the federal money was suspended in a separate review of discretionary federal money going to universities. A Penn spokesperson says the school has not received any notification or details of the suspension in funding, but says Penn has always followed NCAA and Ivy League policies regarding student participation on athletic teams. Leah Thomas, a transgender woman, swam on the school's women's team and was the first openly transgender athlete to win a Division I title in 2022. Donna Warder, Washington.
Confronted with huge cuts to its federal funding, Columbia University facing a big decision: yield to the Trump administration's demands over allegations of anti-Semitism or fight back. Law professor Sam Bagginstos.
The administration is continually probing to see how far they can go.
Columbia, the first school to face this aggressive intervention, which would include federal oversight.
If they're not pushing back, that is going to send a signal.
Dozens of other schools put on notice they're next if they defy the president's orders on issues around pro-Palestinian activism, diversity programs, or transgender women in girls' sports. Julie Walker, New York.
Greenpeace has been found liable for defamation by a North Dakota jury. The case reaches back to protests in 2016 and 2017 against the Dakota Access Oil Pipeline and its Missouri River crossing upstream of the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe's reservation. For years, the tribe has opposed the line as a risk to its water supply. The jury said the environmental advocacy group must pay hundreds of millions of dollars to Dallas-based Energy Transfer and its subsidiary, Dakota Access. The companies had alleged defamation, trespass, nuisance, civil conspiracy, and other claims against the Greenpeace companies. Attorneys for Greenpeace denied the claims. I'm Haya Pinjwani.
The Federal Reserve is leaving its benchmark interest rate unchanged while signaling it still expects two more rate cuts this year. The Fed says inflation remains stubbornly inflated and predicts it will inch up this year further from its 2% goal due to President Trump's tariffs.
I do think with the arrival of the tariff inflation, further progress may be delayed.
Jerome Powell and the central bank see slower economic growth this year and next, with higher unemployment. Powell, though, notes the economy seems healthy, but notes falling consumer sentiment.
Uncertainty is remarkably high.
Higher inflation would usually lead the Fed to keep interest rates high. Slower growth and higher unemployment would often lead to cuts. It all makes a forecast hard right now.
What would you write down?
Powell says for the time being,
we do not need to be in a hurry to adjust our policy stance.
Sagar Meghani, Washington.
I'm Seth Soutell, and this is the AP Markets Report. Stocks closed higher on Wall Street after the Federal Reserve said the economy still looks healthy enough to keep interest rates where they are. The S&P 500 jumped 1.1% Wednesday. The gains accelerated following the Fed's announcement in the afternoon. The Dow Jones Industrial Average added 383 points. It's about 0.9%. The NASDAQ Composite rose 1.4%. The rally followed weeks of sharp swings driven by uncertainty around President Donald Trump's trade war. Wall Street also got a boost from easing yields in the bond market. The yield on the 10-year Treasury note dropped to 4.24%. Seth Soutell, New York.
Ex-Eminem studio engineer Joseph Strange of Holly, Michigan, has been charged with stealing the rap artist's unreleased music and selling it online. An FBI affidavit says more than 25 unreleased tunes were stored on password-protected hard drives kept in a safe at Eminem's studio near Detroit. Strange lost his job at the studio in 2021. One man told authorities he bought unreleased songs from Strange for about $50,000 in Bitcoin. A search of Strange's home turned up handwritten Eminem lyric sheets and hard drives with 12,000 audio files. If Strange is convicted of both copyright infringement and interstate transportation of stolen goods, he could face up to 15 years in prison. I'm Donna Warder.
Lisa Schiff, a former Manhattan art advisor to the rich and famous, including Leonardo DiCaprio, was sentenced to 2.5 years in prison after admitting to cheating clients out of $6.5 million. In court, a sobbing Schiff told victims she was sorry and said, "I am a guilty person and I am prepared to face my punishment." Prosecutors say the wire fraud was in connection with the sale of 55 works of art. The judge called Schiff's crimes brazen, noting her fraud lasted 5 years and involved more than a dozen clients. Prosecutors say she ripped them off by selling their artwork without telling them or by accepting money to buy art she did not purchase, all while funding a lavish life. Writer-director Carl Rynch was supposed to do a series called White Horse for Netflix. Instead, federal prosecutors in New York charged him with swindling the streaming giant out of $11 million. They say he allegedly spent it on Rolls-Royce's luxury watches, legal fees, and cryptocurrency, among other things. The Hollywood filmmaker is best known for 47 Ronin. He's charged with wire fraud and money laundering. Prosecutors say Netflix had initially paid about $44 million to purchase the unfinished show from Rynch, but eventually doled out another $11 million after he said he needed the additional cash to complete the series. Julie Walker, New York.
A three-judge panel has ruled that Ohio's ban on gender-affirming care for minors is unconstitutional and ordered it permanently blocked by a trial court. The blocked law sought to ban counseling, surgery, and hormone therapy for youth, unless they are already receiving such therapies and a doctor deems it risky to stop. A 10th District Court of Appeals panel reversed a lower court's ruling 2-1 that upheld the law. The judges found it unconstitutionally targets only patients seeking gender transitions and exceeds the state's policing power over parents. The ACLU calls the ruling historic. The state attorney general has vowed to immediately appeal. A jury has found the alleged ringleader of a massive pandemic fraud case in Minnesota guilty on all counts for her role in a scheme that federal prosecutors say stole $250 million from a program meant to feed children in need. Amy Bach was the founder of Feeding Our Future, the group that prosecutors say was at the heart of the plot. She was one of 70 defendants charged in the overall case, which prosecutors say was one of the country's largest frauds against COVID-19 relief programs. The Minnesota case also drew attention for an attempt to bribe a juror with $120,000 in cash in an earlier trial. That juror went straight to police, and there were allegations of witness tampering in Bach's trial. That witness declined to meet with one of the defendants and instead told his lawyer. Jean K. Whitefeather received up to 215 years in prison, and her husband, Donald Lance, received a term of up to 160 years for abusing their adoptive children. The couple, who were white, adopted 5 black siblings while living in Minnesota, eventually moving the family to West Virginia in 2023. The couple were arrested after neighbors saw Lance lock the oldest girl and her teenage brother in a shed and then leaving the property. After using a crowbar to get them out, deputies eventually found the rest of the children in dirty clothing. The oldest girl, now 18, addressed the court directly, calling Whitefeather a monster. Whitefeather will be eligible for parole after serving 40 years and Lance after 30. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
AP Sports, I'm Geffen Coolbaugh. Marcus Foster scored 22 points to help Xavier overcome a 13-point deficit and rally past fellow 11 seed Texas 86-80 in an NCAA tournament first four matchup.
It pretty much felt like a home game. Like Coach Miller said, we needed everybody to pop out for us to pull that win because that was a great Texas team.
The Musketeers erased a 13-point deficit and advanced into the main bracket of the tournament to play number 6 seed Illinois on Friday. J.D. Cordelia finished with 22 points and 7 rebounds as Mount St. Mary's defeated American 83-72 in a first four matchup of 16 seeds.
I had a lot of adrenaline. But my guys at my back.
The Mountaineers earned a date with number 1 seed Duke Friday. MLB Roky Sasaki threw 3 innings of one-run ball with 5 walks and 3 strikeouts in his MLB debut as the Dodgers completed a Tokyo Series sweep of the Cubs with a 6-3 win. NFL, the Vikings have committed to moving forward with J.J. McCarthy as their starting quarterback after deciding not to offer Aaron Rodgers a contract. And NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman says the league and Players Association will begin negotiations on a new collective bargaining agreement the week of April 1st.
The Packers have formally proposed a rule change to ban the tush push, and the Lions proposed that playoff seeding be done based on record instead of automatically placing division winners in the top four spots. Teams made several other proposals released Wednesday that will be added to additional ones made by the competition committee to be considered at the league meetings later this month. They include a change to the overtime rule and the so-called legal tampering period in free agency. Any rule changes must be approved by 24 out of 32 team owners.
Stanford football coach Troy Taylor mistreated female staff members and tried to have an NCAA compliance officer removed after she warned him of rules violations, according to documents obtained by ESPN from investigations into Taylor's conduct. ESPN said more than 20 current and former staffers cooperated with the two investigations that included complaints against Taylor for what are described as hostile and aggressive behavior, as well as personal attacks. Both investigations determined that Taylor's treatment of employees, especially women, was inconsistent with Stanford's standards, according to ESPN. Taylor says he used the investigations as a, quote, learning opportunity. I'm Gethin Kulbaugh.
The head of the UN Office for Project Services, Jorge Moreira da Silva, spoke to reporters but declined to say who had carried out the strike. He said that the explosive ordnance was dropped or fired and the blast was not accidental or related to any demining activity. Da Silva added strikes had hit near the compound on Monday and struck it directly on Tuesday and again on Wednesday when the staffer was killed. He said the agency had contacted the Israeli military after the first strike and confirmed that it was aware of the location. His team has not provided the nationalities of those killed and wounded. The Israeli military, which has carried out a heavy wave of airstrikes throughout Gaza since early Tuesday, denied early reports that it had targeted the UN compound. The EU's executive branch has unveiled its Readiness 2030 security strategy, with the threat of Russian aggression at the forefront of concerns. Under the new move, member countries will be urged to work mostly with Europe's military equipment suppliers. They should only purchase equipment from abroad when costs, performance or supply delays make it preferable. EU High Representative Kaya Kallas tells delegates the plan aims to tackle immediate threats and the build-up of European long-term defence.
We will help European countries meet their NATO capability targets. We do this not to fight the war, but to prepare for the worst, defend peace in Europe and stand strong for a world where might cannot make right.
Kallas adds the international order is undergoing changes of a magnitude not seen since 1945. This is a pivotal moment for European security, she says. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.